The word for this evening comes from Colossians chapter 4. So if you would like to turn in your copy of God's word to Colossians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 2 through 9. The text of the sermon for tonight is verses 5 and 6, but we'll read, for the context, verses 2 through 9. So hear now God's holy, inspired, and inerrant, perfect word. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. That's God's word. Let's pray now and ask for his blessing on the preaching. Lord, our God, we thank you for your holy word, which is living and active. And we thank you for this word from the book of Colossians. And we ask that you would bless it to our hearts. And so I ask, O Lord, for the blessing of your Spirit. And I ask that you would empower me as I preach your word. Open our hearts, O Lord, to receive it, that we might not walk out of here unchanged, but we might be sanctified and prepared for what you have, the things you have for us this week. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The main point of this text and the message for this evening is simple. Redeem the time with unbelievers by speaking wise words. Redeem the time with unbelievers by speaking wise words. Paul here begins with the exhortation, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And that brings us to our first point, redeem the time. Are you purposeful with your time with unbelievers? You are surrounded by opportunities to speak to those who are without. And what does he mean by without? Without, outside the kingdom. In darkness, perishing, and headed for eternal wrath. But God has placed each one of you amongst unbelievers, and you will be among unbelievers this week. Tomorrow, you'll be speaking to unbelievers in the checkout line or interacting at the gas station. You'll be rubbing shoulders with unbelievers at work, or perhaps you're getting together with some unsaved relatives. Or exchanging words with your neighbors, passing by neighbors. But this week, you will be in the presence of those who are without. And so the question is, what are you going to do with that? And I want you to see that you have an opportunity. And here, the Word of God says, redeem that time and seize that opportunity. Are you purposeful? You are to be aimed at the salvation of the lost, bringing them into God's kingdom. Now, sometimes and often, you are tempted to think, well, if God wants to save people, then He will send missionaries. Sure, God has a plan to gather some people for Himself. That's why we hire a minister. That's why evangelists are appointed, to go and to reach the lost. And that is true. The Lord raises up ministers to proclaim the word. The Lord gifts and appoints evangelists to go, right, to the lost. But you also have a role in the redeeming of unbelievers. Notice previously, Paul, in our passage here, says to the Colossians, continue in prayer, right? And continue in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. He says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God would open to us a door for the gospel, that I might proclaim the truth of the word, and that I may make it manifest, right? That I may make it clear to people, which is how I ought to speak. So he says, pray for me as an apostle sent to take the gospel to the lost, to go where the gospel hasn't been before. But then in verse 5, our text for tonight, he says, but you don't sit back and say, okay, the Apostle Paul is out. He's sharing the gospel. You walk in wisdom towards outsiders, the outsiders that are around you, redeeming the time. And notice he says, walk in wisdom, not just among the outsiders, but he says, walk in wisdom, look at your text of verse 5, towards them that are without. In other words, you are to be purposeful in how you're spending the time, how you're speaking with unbelievers. So you're not, the outsiders are not just people to be avoided. Your unsaved relatives and co-workers are not just people, outsiders to be endured, but they're people to be moving towards and to be purposeful towards. Now that begins first with an awareness of the eternal realities. Do you realize that every person who walks, right, by your house, every person in your office is either being sanctified, is either in Christ, being redeemed and conformed into His image, or is lost and headed for eternal wrath. Every person is a person made in the image of God, heading towards one of those two ends. And if we grab hold of that, then you begin to see that you have an opportunity. So it begins with an awareness, but you redeem the time, or you lay a foundation for redeeming the time by praying for opportunities. Paul says, pray for us that God would open a door and give us boldness and clarity as we proclaim the gospel. Well, he's showing how you ought to pray for yourselves. So pray for opportunities. And when you pray for opportunities, what you're really praying for is you're praying that God would help you to see, not just to have opportunities, but to see the opportunities, because they're around you. Pray for the opportunity to share the gospel. You know, one prayer request, I can testify to you, that one prayer request the Lord has never failed to answer almost immediately is, Lord, open a door for the gospel. So as you're driving to work tomorrow, if you're driving to work, spend the time in the car praying for your coworkers and praying that prayer, Lord, open a door for me to speak truth, to share Christ with the lost. So you are to be purposeful. You are to live on mission among the outsiders, to walk in wisdom towards the outsiders. But how do you make the most of the time? How do you redeem the time? Your time is limited. How do you redeem that time? And that brings us to the second point. You redeem the time by using wise words. You redeem the time by using wise words. And that's why he continues. And look at verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Do you realize you have a powerful and potent weapon? Your words. What you say has the potential to eternally impact another person. On the great day, on the day of judgment, who is going to say, come to you and say, I thank and praise the Lord for you. Because when I was lost, you said something to me that the Holy Spirit used to begin convicting me. To cause me to begin thinking about my eternity, thinking about Him. And the Lord used you as an instrument to bring me to faith. Your words are powerful weapons. So how are your words? And what are your words aimed at? Think about your conversations that you've had over the past few weeks with the outsiders in your life. Often, too often, the words of the church towards outsiders are empty or meaningless or selfish. Aimed at getting a laugh. Maybe aimed at pleasing, avoiding conflict. But here, Paul says, let your speech always be with grace, or gracious. So, what are gracious words? What does it mean to speak words with grace? Well, gracious words are words that are aimed at the good of another. They're filled with potency. The word in Greek that's translated gracious can actually has two connotations. On one side, it has the connotation of being filled with gratitude. That is, the words are not vapid words, not meaningless. They're words that are not mean or caustic or prideful, but they're words filled with gratitude. And in our culture, gracious, right, words that are filled with gratitude will stand out. And if you have a secular job, then you probably know most of the words, and probably 75% of words are words of complaint, gossip or complaint. When you speak words of gratitude, they stand out. But the word for gracious also connotes imparting grace. That is, the words are vehicles for the work of God's Spirit. And when you speak words that are gracious, they stand out and they make an impact. The verse in Luke 4:22, it says the people, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue and speaking to the people, it says they marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Because they were words that imparted a grace. So your words can be vehicles for the work of God's Spirit. So what kind of words are life-changing words? What kind of words impart grace? Well, that brings us to our third point, words of wisdom and truth. So the third point, let your words be wisdom filled. Be wisdom filled. Look at our text. Let your speech always be gracious, or be speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So how will your words be gracious and impart grace? If they're seasoned with salt. Now, what is this image you're getting at? The rabbis would use salt as an image or a metaphor for wisdom. And that's because salt does two things. Salt preserves. Right? In ancient cultures, when you didn't have refrigeration, food would very easily develop bacteria. And you could get worms and things living in food that made it rancid or bad. But salt killed those things. And so salt acted as a preservative. And when you speak words to outsiders who are surrounded by a culture filled with lies, then your words act as a preservative. They point them, outsiders, to the truth. Do the words that you speak with outsiders kill the bacteria of sin and the lies that originate from Satan? But salt is also used to speak about wisdom, because salt provided flavor. And so when words have flavor, the flavor of wisdom, they're memorable words. Perhaps when you have a meal, or you have meat that has no salt or no seasoning, it's bland, right? It doesn't make an impression. But I'm sure you've probably had a meal that was so delicious that years later you can still recall the taste of that steak. So salty words stick, they're memorable. And words of truth stick into the heart, and they begin to work on people. There's at the Boardwalk Chapel, there's a pizza shop next door, and it was called Angelo's. They were just taken over by a new, or they just changed to a new owner, so the new name. But up until last year, right, for 40 years, Angelo's Pizza was next to the Boardwalk Chapel, started by a man named Angelo. His nephew, John Lancelotti, took over the shop in 2000, in the year 2000. Grew up Roman Catholic, in the cultural Roman Catholic in Philadelphia, wasn't a believer. And said as a youth, you know, he was one of the guys who would walk by the chapel, you know, shouting, you know, words, you know, like "Hail Satan," or, you know, it just mocking. But when he took the first year, he took over his uncle's shop. He opens up the gate, and Len Chenu, some of you may know Reverend Len Chenu, who was an elder at Belmar for many years, was there. And he walked up to John, put his arm around his shoulder, said, "I knew your uncle. Your uncle was a friend of mine, so you are a friend of mine," and speaking gracious words. And in the conversation, as they began to speak, Len Chenu, redeeming the time, seeing as he has an opportunity here to speak words, gracious words to an outsider, said to him, "You know, John, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear the Lord?" And 15 years later, as I was talking with John, sharing the gospel, he still remembered those words. Right? Because they were words of truth. They were memorable. They stuck into his heart. And the Lord began to use that. And John came to saving faith about six years ago. But the Lord began that work with the words of Len Chenu. So your words need to be seasoned with the salt of wisdom. So your words need to be wisdom filled. But how do you get filled with wise words? What does it mean to be full of wisdom? To be full of wisdom, you've got to be full of Christ. That's what Paul says early in the letter. The riches of wisdom and knowledge, right, are found, are hidden in Christ. So if you want to be filled with words that are salty, that are gracious, that stick, that impact people eternally and draw them to Christ, then you need to be filled with Christ. And that's why it's so important to be reading the Word every day, praying through the Word, as we were speaking this morning in Sunday school. And that's why Paul says to the church in Colossae in chapter 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." So you need to be filling yourself. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you speak words, gracious words and salty words, in your conversations with your brothers and sisters? Do you speak salty words with those in your household? Well, if it doesn't start there, if it's not happening there, it's not going to magically kick in when you're having the conversation with an unbeliever. If you're not filling your mind and your heart with the Word, meditating on it, praying through it, sharing it with one another, you won't be filled. But as you're meditating, as you're filling yourself with God's Word, then the Word will come out of you. It's like John Bunyan, right? He was told when you bumped into John Bunyan, right, a hymn popped out. Or if you cut him, right? He bled Bibline, one of the Puritans put it that way. Right? Because he was so filled with the Word. So the more you're filled with Christ, the more you meditate on His words, the more you will be ready. Which is what the Word says here. Let your speech always be gracious, right? Seasoned with salt, verse 6, so that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Not everybody needs the same word. And you see this the way Jesus, as He interacted with different people. When He spoke to Nicodemus, He saw a man, a religious man, that needed to understand that unless you're born again, right, your religiosity does you no good. Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. When He spoke to the woman at the well, a woman who knows her sinfulness, right, who's burdened by the guilt of her sin, and so going out to get her water in high noon, the heat of the day, where she won't have to interact with people, Jesus says, "Give to me a drink to stir up conversation." And if you knew the gift of God, He said to you, the one who's talking to you would ask of Him, and He would give you living water. And when He spoke to the Pharisees in John 8, right, He spoke very cutting words. "You are of your father, the devil. Because if you were sons of Abraham, right, you would have the faith of Abraham and you would rejoice to see me." Right? Each person needed a different word. And each situation needs a particular word aimed at the situation. But the more you're filled with Christ, the more you're filled with His wisdom, the more you're filled with His Word, the more you'll be ready. And like your master, will have a word fit for the occasion. So, brothers and sisters, this week, you have opportunities. you're around unbelievers. You'll be around unbelievers tomorrow, outsiders. You have an opportunity. How are you going to use that time? Well, the Word of God here says, redeem the time, be purposeful. And you redeem the time by using your words. And those words need to be wise words. So redeem the time. Redeem the time by using words. Gracious words. And gracious words are wise words. Salty. They need to be filled with wisdom. But to be filled with wisdom, you need to be filled with Christ and His Word. Fill yourself with Christ and His Word, and you'll be ready to redeem the time. So redeem the time with unbelievers this week by speaking wise words. May the Lord give you grace to be His ambassadors this week. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank You for this word. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have called us to be Your ambassadors. And I ask for Your grace on this congregation, that You might empower them with wisdom this week to redeem the time with unbelievers. Oh Lord, give them a hunger to be filled with wisdom, to be filled with Your word, to have speech that is purposeful and salty. And Lord, use them as instruments to snatch people from darkness and to bring them into Your kingdom, that the name of Christ might be exalted and that Your name might be hallowed. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.